Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Or with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into
the home team.
And here we go.
It is the home team on 960 The Ref, brought to you, as always, by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future elevated. Tyler Head and Jeff Dantzler along with you today on, it's turning out to be a cloudy Thursday afternoon. It was bright and sunny on my drive over here, and it looks like we might get a little bit wet on the way home.
Yeah, hey, listen, that's the summertime in Georgia. Have a hot day and get a little shower in the afternoon. That means summertime is here.
Absolutely, and it's going to feel like summertime this weekend. I think Sunday's supposed to be the hottest day of the weekend, 91 degrees, I believe. So it's gonna certainly gonna feel like June the 21st.
Well, and you know, put that sunscreen on it. I was caked in it this past weekend down at the beach, and I'm still peeling like crazy all over.
I was gonna say, when you I saw you for the first time the other day, you did have a little bit of a red pinkness to you, that you'd been out in the sun a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I was lathered up and everything, but still, it'll get you. But no, we've had some just tremendous weather. And like I said, I guess was it what's today? Thursday.
Yes, Thursday.
Tuesday. We were in the 60s.
It was windy. Felt like
unbelievable.
An average spring day almost.
Or November.
Yeah, for sure.
I
don't know. We sometimes we have these funny starts to the summer, but we know those brutally hot days aren't too far away, unfortunately.
The furnace will get turned on this weekend, my friend.
Gonna turn the heat up, as they say.
Gonna turn up the heat. Well, that was great to have Coach Dinan on with us.
That was fantastic.
He's the best.
And like I said, I could listen to him tell stories all day long.
Yeah, he was always so great to me, and it meant a lot for me as a young buck to have a great relationship with him. And you know, I've had such a great relationship with so many Georgia coaches through the years, and to have the football coach there just be as great as he was to me.
Right.
I've always admired him, and I know for Kirby, just you know, when you're talking about the history of the game and at Georgia, to have Coach Dinan around, and certainly to have Mike Cavan, one of the great Bulldogs of all time, to have him as a special advisor, just having two wise legends like that around, it's helped him a lot.
And I thought it was unique what he mentioned there about Mike Leach, who was he talking about when he was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky?
Yeah, we were up 10-7, and I mean, they were really good. They had Couch. Kirby intercepted him twice, and he intercepted Couch twice again the next year, but we had gone up 10-7, and Ronald Bailey there at the end of the half got a pick six, and we wound up winning 23-13. Robert Edwards had, I think, a 75-yard touchdown run, but that was a nervy game, and then we went down and beat Florida the next week.
And that's what's so cool about somebody like Coach Dinan, to be able to talk to and interview from time to time, and obviously have on some of our other programs here on 960 The Ref, that you know, he hasn't been a head coach in 20 years, but you know, obviously he knows a lot about a guy like Mike Leach, who was an offensive coordinator back then, who's now head coach in the SEC, not to mention countless others. Obviously, he coached Kirby, who's now the head coach here at Georgia, and just the connection that he still has to the game, despite not being on the sidelines for 20 years, is just so amazing.
Well, you're exactly right. And there was a period, I think he had been out of coaching for 5 or 6 years, and when you looked at players in the NFL, the coaches who had put the most out there, he was still in the top 10 for active players in the NFL. Just when you think about all the players that came through Georgia, the players he churned out at Marshall. Again, talking about Troy Brown, I mean, this guy had an incredible career. He played 15 years for the Patriots, and won three Super Bowls. He's in their Hall of Fame. I just pulled up the numbers. He scored 34 touchdowns in his career and had three interceptions. Again, playing as a nickelback. So just players like that. And then you just think about the guys who came through Georgia. I mean, Champ's in the Hall of Fame. Hines is going to be in the Hall of Fame. And Richard Seymour's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Matt Stinchcomb's in the College Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Edwards, one of the best that we've had here. So he definitely knows his talent. And, of course, one of his best players is now the head coach.
Absolutely.
I had a buddy find a – we used to have a magazine – the university put out a magazine called The Georgia Bulldog. It was an in-house publication. And my good friend Martin Arms, who was the editor of that publication for several years, he sent me a picture. He was digging through some stuff last year and just found this. And the cover boy in the 1998 preview was one Kirby Smart. And yours truly wrote the story.
I forgot all about that.
I said, did I have any foreshadowing in there? Like prediction? Like, no, nothing like that. I'm like, golly, that would have been really cool.
This guy would make a great head coach for Georgia one day. Like, he predicted it.
Oh, man, I was all over it. But that's neat. And it's this is one of the things, too, Tyler, you'll get it, as you get older, the time really, really does go by quicker. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I think about, like, for me, talking about that 1997 Kentucky game, I remember vividly the details, and that was 23 years ago.
Right.
And I think back to, you know, when Herschel was playing, like in 82, when we beat Tech to go 11-0, and, you know, the three straight SEC titles. And then, you know, somebody had made, I mean, Coach McGill or Munson on the radio had made reference to Fran Tarkenton. And that was 23 years prior when the 59 team won the SEC title.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm 10 at that point. So yes. 1959, I mean, I love my sports history, but the world, you think, well, it's in black and white then.
Yeah, right. Well,
like the 71 Auburn game was so huge when they came in here and won and both teams were undefeated. Heck, that was 11 years before 1982. When you're 10 years old, that was a long, long time ago. And then the older you get, and I start thinking about it, you know, stuff like, I mean, I remember what I had for lunch the day of the 2005 SEC title game when we beat LSU.
Uh-huh.
And, again, that Kentucky game was 23 years ago, and it sure doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, it's crazy how time flies, and the amount of things that you're able to remember relating to Georgia football still blow me away.
Well, I remembered more when I was younger because you had less things on your mind, but that was certainly a big one. That 97 team was really special because we had had a stretch there from 93 to 96 where we either won six or five games 4 years in a row, and we had really dipped, and Coach Donnan came in and again got the talent level really built up. And that 97 season, and we beat South Carolina in the second game of the year. And then I remember the 40. I was really nervous, and we beat Mississippi State 47-0. And we bounced back from a loss at Tennessee, and they had a great team, Peyton Manning and Jamal Lewis, and we beat Vandy. And then Kentucky was really good, handled them here, and then we beat Florida. Unfortunately, we lost to Auburn, but beat Ole Miss, and then to come back and beat Tech, and then go down and beat Wisconsin and Ron Dayne in the bowl to go 10-2 and finish number 10. I mean, that was only the second time we'd been in the top 10 since the early 80s. So that was a big point right there. We came, you know, we got cheated against Tech the next 2 years, and unfortunately had some injuries and came really close. And then, you know, Coach Rick came in, and in his second year we won the SEC. But I've always said one of the things that I think it's important, yeah, we all want to win more. And, you know, I play the what-if game. You know, heck, just those three games against Bama this past decade would have meant at least one national title and two more SEC titles and probably a second national title and maybe a third. Who knows?
Right.
But I think one of the things that is important, most every Saturday, going back to Coach Donnan's second year, 1997, through his last 4 years, through Coach Rick's entire tenure, and through Kirby's time here, I bet there are no more than five games going into that us old school Georgia fans thought like, yeah, we don't have a chance today.
Right.
Like the 09 Florida game, the 2010 Auburn game. I'll even say the 2011 SEC championship with LSU.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very few, and there are not too many schools that can say that.
Right.
That basically for the last 97 to 19, that's what, 23 seasons, that we've got to virtually every Saturday. You might, it's going to be tough today. You might think that, but we've thought almost every game, hey, we got a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there are not a lot of schools that could say that.
Absolutely. Let's jump into the 5-5 now, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. We're currently, are you watching the tournament right now on your TV as well?
Well, good gosh, yeah.
Okay, we're currently watching the RBC Heritage Tournament out in Hilton Head, South Carolina. First round, it's Thursday. Current leaderboard is Ian Poulter and Mark Hubbard tied at 7-under par. As I mentioned earlier, this is supposedly the most stacked non-major field really in PGA history. So who are the guys that you got your eye on this weekend?
Well, I think number one is Brooks Koepka, because when the season started, he was coming off injury and really wasn't playing very well. But it looks like he's going to start rounding into form. He's at 4-under par. You know, just a couple other names out there, and then we'll get to the Georgia guys as well. I think it's really cool that Ernie Els went out and shot a 67 today. Ricky Fowler shot a 67. But in addition to Koepka, two other players. Jordan Spieth, who's really been in a slump. And I mean, really, the slump could go back to since he won the British Open in 2017. He had a shot at the 2018 Masters, but really, he hadn't been to the incredible form he had so early in his career. Mm-hmm. So maybe Jordan Spieth coming back. And then the other player, I think the young guy who's really got a chance to be a dude is Victor Hovland. He shot a 65 today. So I think for Koepka, who shot 67, for Spieth, who shot 66, and for Hovland, who shot 65, I think those are the three guys that jump out to me.
Now, is it any concern, you mentioned Brooks Koepka, that this is not a major, which he typically does not do as well at?
Yeah, this is what his practice time is. He uses these tourneys as practice, and you know, whatever he's doing, it's working. So you know, you're talking about it. The guy's won two PGAs, two U.S. Opens, and finished second to Tiger at the Masters last year, and came darn near close to winning three straight U.S. Opens, but Gary Woodland held him off.
Right. Sticking with golf, and I talked about this with Brame last week, and similar situation here with the RBC. These tournaments are on Thursdays and Fridays, start really early in the morning. Coverage doesn't pick up on TV until mid to late afternoon, running till the end around 7:30. With no other sports really happening right now, is golf missing out on the opportunity to be putting as much of their product on TV as possible?
I don't know. And by the way, there you go. There's a famous lighthouse scene there on 18. I don't understand. There must be something contractually with the Golf Channel that they don't show the morning action. Because, I mean, even in the majors, they'll do a quick look in. It's got to be something contractually. But, yeah, listen, hey, I'm a junkie. I'd love to. If they started the coverage at 9 a.m., I'd be dialed in when I went to go get my workout in and make sure the TV was on there. So, yeah, I agree. I think this is a chance for them to get more out there, but there's got to be something on the contract with the Golf Channel.
Probably so. And golf's one of those sports similar to kind of baseball that has been trying really, really hard to create an appeal, bring in that younger audience, do things differently. And this is a really good opportunity for them. I like what they did last week. I'm not sure if they're doing it this week as well. I'm watching it on mute, obviously. I don't know. Are they miking up players this weekend? Do you know about that?
I would guess they would. I think they'll take a select few. Webb Simpson, just hit one under the green, second shot on number 18. I would think so. And I think, again, kind of along those lines, when Bones McKay, who used to live here in Athens, when he retired as Phil Mickelson's caddy, and he got added to the coverage, I thought that brought some great insight, you know, getting the perspective from the caddy. So, yeah, I think having a couple of guys mic'd up, at least on the first day or two, I think is a positive. Now, listen, if it's the Masters or the U.S. Open and you're sitting on a one-shot lead, I'm not so sure you want that. But, you know, hey, if it's Thursday in Harbortown, absolutely.
As long as you got somebody with your hand on the dump button.
On the dump button. There's a seven-second delay.
We had some off-color language last week, but it wasn't actually a player mic. It was one of the field mics that I believe caught that one.
Well,
am I correct?
Happens. Yeah, like, oh, that's happened. I remember Tiger got popped a couple of times. I mean, but it happens. Guys say bad words in sports.
No, and I think it adds such a great element to the game. We saw it with the Tiger Phil thing a couple years ago in November of 2018 when Manning and Brady played with Tiger and Phil just a couple weeks ago. We had these guys mic'd up, and it just adds something really no other sports can do. You can't mic up a quarterback for every single play in the NFL. You can't do the same with a pitcher or a coach in MLB. Golf is just such a unique thing that I really hope they keep using this going forward and can capitalize on it.
No, I agree with you, Tyler. And by the way, just a quick update on we have got a boatload of Bulldogs in the field. If I miss somebody, I apologize. Harris English is 4 under. Kevin Kisner is at -3. Bubba Watson is at 2 under par. Let's see. I'm going down. Brendan Todd is at 2 under par. And BT is, I think, 6th in the FedEx Cup. Brian Harmon from Savannah is at 1 under. Russell Henley is at 1 under. Spencer Ralston, who's still on the Georgia team, at last check. Yes, he is even par through 11. So way to go, Spencer. So that's just a quick glance there at the Bulldogs in the field.
So for a guy like Spencer who is playing in a professional tournament, what is the deal with the money that he wins for this?
You don't keep it.
You don't keep it. I didn't think so.
And you also have to declare beforehand. So like by chance, if he went and won, he couldn't then all of a sudden say, all right, well, I want the $1.6 million.
Yeah. Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
So they can't even put that in like a trust fund or something to hold on until he's
The low pro gets the first place money.
Mm. Wow.
But still, if he won the status that would give you, you'd get into all the majors and you'd get a tour exemption
for
2 years.
It pays off in the long run, but that would sting knowing that you won $1.1 million, but you're not going to see a dime of it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Coach, I've decided to turn. It doesn't quite work like
that.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
That's a great experience for him. And I think Spencer's goal here would probably be to make the cut.
Uh-huh.
And just to get the chance to play on the weekend, that'd be a fantastic accomplishment.
Oh, I can only imagine the kind of things that he's going to be learning from playing against these guys and watching the things that they do on a tricky course like this that could help him going forward as a member of the Georgia team.
You know, and Dave had a good point, too, that the fact that there are virtually no spectators out there, that it feels more like a college tournament probably for him.
Right, yeah.
So that probably helps a little bit as well.
For sure, for sure. Moving on in the 5 at 5 now. Golf is just recently coming back. We've talked about it every single week here that NASCAR has been back for well over just over a month now, and you and Brame have probably been watching more of it than you have in years past. And I asked Brame the similar question last week when I was in with him. Is there anything that you've seen from watching it that kind of sticks out to you?
The thing that impresses me, because I used to watch it a good bit more back in the '80s, mm-hmm. when I was a kid. I think the technology they've got now, I love how you've essentially got, for lack of a better term, the moving arrows that let you know which driver's in which car.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the in-car camera shots that they have, I think are really remarkable. So I think NASCAR's done a very good job with the technology.
But wait till you see them on a road course when they have the foot cam. That's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Because obviously you have to shift a lot at road courses, so there's a lot of trail braking, heel toe, shifting, accelerating, and braking all at the same time. It's pretty remarkable to watch how they get around road courses.
Yeah, so I think that would probably be the thing. And obviously then when you can listen in to what's going on with the driver and the pit crew, I think that's good. But I would say the two things for me in terms of technology, the in-car cams are terrific. And then again, they've got like for golf, I love the launch angle that you get on these things and the shot tracer. And for NASCAR, I just like if you got 3-4 cars right there together, how they've got the long drop box going down and having that arrow on which car's which and
live telemetry. Yep.
And this is, I want to throw this at you too. I'm just curious. When I was a kid, my dad, he worked for a grocery wholesaler, so we'd get a lot of promotional items.
Uh-huh.
Gatorade was a huge client of his.
Yep.
So you get these Gatorade Racing stickers and hats, and I got a little miniature car. So I was a fan of the Gatorade car. Mm-hmm. Daryl Waltrip drove it, then Bobby Allison drove it.
Yep.
So I was a fan of the car, not the driver. And I guess that's kind of common for younger fans out there. You think the car looks really cool.
Right.
I would think, too, a problem they could have, NASCAR, with recognition would be if there's a frequent jumping around of sponsors and drivers moving, you're losing a lot of that recognition. How common is that, and is that a major problem?
So as of right now in the Cup Series, there's only two drivers that have the same sponsor every single week, and that's Denny Hamlin with FedEx and Jimmy Johnson with Ally Financial.
Wow.
Everybody else has, and most every driver has a primary sponsor, but that primary sponsor is on for, you know, anywhere between 18 to maybe 25, 26 races out of a 36 race season. I know, speaking specifically for Chase Elliott, he's got multiple sponsors. He's got Napa's his primary, but he's got Kelley Blue Book. He's got Hooters is one of his sponsors.
Now you're talking.
They're escaping my mind now, like Little Caesars. A ton of different sponsors that dot his car throughout the season, Mountain Dew. That's just kind of the nature of the sport now, where companies aren't as keen on paying one lump sum for an entire season, but they'll kind of break it up piece by piece and get what value they want out of it. And that's kind of interesting that you brought that point up, because it was announced just the other day that they're moving the All-Star race to Bristol next month. So it's traditionally in Charlotte. They're going to move it to Bristol, short track. Really excited for that. They're also going to be experimenting with the number placement on the side of the car. Mm-hmm. So typically, as of right now, numbers are placed right under the driver's door, big number right there. So for Chase Elliott, you got the big 9 right under the driver's window. What they're going to do is they're going to slide that number back in front of the rear wheel, shrink it a little bit, and place sponsor logos on the side. Now, this is just a test. It's not something they're committed to going forward. I'm not in favor of it. I think it looks kind of goofy. I've seen kind of the mock-ups from it. But like you mentioned, with sponsors rotating so much now, the number is what identifies the driver.
Well, and it's also, you think, I'm telling you, like, for the non-diehard, just the color of the car, when you saw that black car in the number 3.
Yes, you knew.
Dale Earnhardt. Richard, the STP, that blue and red with that 43 on the side.
Petty blue.
You knew who it was.
Yep.
And I would just think, you know, keeping the same color, having that same primary sponsor, obviously it is an issue for
it. It is, for sure. And that's just kind of the nature of what sports become. It's very expensive. You're talking, I think I saw a figure when the season that Dale Earnhardt passed away in 2001, I think GM Goodrich had paid a total of $8 million for the entire season. Now, primary sponsorships for an entire year are in about the $30 million range. So you can see why companies may not be as reluctant to fork over that amount of money to get coverage for the entire season.
Exactly. So. And by the way, it's a great shot there. The boats out in Calabogie Sound watching the players finish up on number 18.
Absolutely beautiful day out there, too.
Beautiful, beautiful day.
Moving on, the 5 at 5, we were talking about Adam Sandler movies earlier. You mentioned The Waterboy, and I mentioned Happy Gilmore. Sports movies, obviously, comedy sports movies. Do you know what movie came out 16 years ago today by chance?
All right, let me think. What's this year? 2020?
So 2004.
2004. I'm just going to guess this because it's one of my favorite movies of the 21st century. I'm going to guess Dodgeball.
You are correct. Dodgeball, yes. A true underdog story, came out 16 years ago today. Talking about ranking all-time sports movies, where does it sit on your list?
It certainly sits up there at the top. Now, I don't count Caddyshack as a sports movie.
You don't?
No, I mean, I guess it's got golf in there, but I don't count that as a sports movie. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. But I would say I would put it up there with Major League and Bull Durham. Bull Durham's a drama slash comedy, but as far as if you're just saying sports comedies,
yeah,
it might be right there with Major League as my top two.
It's one of those sports movies that just adapts with time. Like, it's pretty much timeless.
Oh, it's because, everybody had to play dodgeball.
Right,
PE.
And I know it's only been 16 years, so there's plenty of time for things to change, but it's just one of those movies that you can watch it at any time in a year, and it just kind of feels like it's currently happening. You know what I mean?
I agree. It's timeless. It's fantastic.
God, anything Vince Vaughn's in, you have Ben Stiller playing White Goodman. I mean, just phenomenal.
The key as well for any great sports movie, especially a comedy, is the announcer.
Oh.
You think Major League with Bob Uecker, but having Cotton and Pepper, perfectly played by Gary Cole and Jason Bateman.
Ouchtown population, you, bro.
I mean, there's the one-liners there. Cotton and Pepper, it is, they are brilliant. And again, to me, like, what makes Major League is Bob Uecker.
Yes.
I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. So that is an absolute must for the sports comedy movie, you've got to have the great announcers.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Bold we'll see strategy, how it plays Cotton. Out.
Bold strategy.
My goodness, that
I love
phenomenal movie. I've seen it 100 times myself. When they're playing the Girl Scouts in the beginning, trying to get through the tournament.
Oh, it's great.
And you know, the Purple Cobras and the dance they do, and it's just so well done. So well done. ESPN almost every single year dedicates one day in August to becoming the Ocho, showing that movie as well as just tons of obscure sports, which is what ESPN started out as back in the 80s, correct?
That was ESPN2 was kind of an obscure type thing, but yeah.
Log rolling lumberjack games, that kind of stuff.
There was a lot of that stuff, but yeah. Blazer. The Purple Cobras.
Goodness, that's some good stuff. And actually, I didn't know this until years later. What's his name? Gordon, who's on the Average Joe's, the guy that wears the goggles and reads.
Steven Root, yeah.
Yeah, reads the entire
the rule book.
Rule book for the game of dodgeball. He plays Bill Dauterive on King of the Hill.
Yeah. No, Steven Root's great.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah, he was in a show called News Radio. He was in a very good episode of Seinfeld where he was a bank president. Yeah, Steven Root's great actor.
He was in Office Space as well.
He was Milton.
It burned the entire building down.
Yeah, I saw my stapler. In fact, there was one night I got a call. There was a place down in Five Points that's since changed names. And I was just in watching TV. And one of the girls that worked down there called me and said, "You got to get down here." So what? Steven Root and Newman are in here. And
really?
Sure enough, Wayne Knight and Steven Root were there. They had come to speak to, I guess, the performing arts school.
Uh-huh.
And because, you know, as everyone knows, Wayne Knight went to Georgia.
Of course.
And
Newman.
So I went down there, and they were both there. There were so many people. And
because
word obviously got around real quick.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything to him. I was going to go to Wayne Knight. I was going to throw a Jurassic Park in there, not go with a Seinfeld.
I was going to say, because everybody...
putting our lives in your hands and you develop butterfingers?
Everybody automatically goes to Seinfeld, but he had such a prominent part in Jurassic Park 2.
He did, and he was also in a pretty famous scene in a Sharon Stone Michael Douglas movie.
Not sure if I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, I've just blanked on the name of the movie. It was very famous. But there's one scene in there where, let's see. Got it.
To the Google.
Michael Douglas, and I'm going to kill myself for this. I mean, it's Basic Instinct.
Okay, all right.
Yes, there's a scene in there that's famous where Sharon Stone's being interrogated, and she's wearing a short dress.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Wayne Knight's a detective in that.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. I know what you mean now.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Loud and clear. 10-4.
But Newman, he is the thing. And even Jerry talked about this once in his stand-up act. He said any scene when Wayne Knight would walk in, he would just start cracking up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just start cracking up. So, yeah. So, love me some Newman. So anyway,
great stuff.
That was my
great
brush with fame there. I was in the same place as Steven Root and Wayne Knight. All right, we got to run into a timeout. Great job, Tyler, on the 5 at 5.
Brought to you as always by Duke King Systems, more than a system.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.